Coming to you from the Underground Studio, this is the Sipping Social Podcast. My name is Mike Caro. I'm here with my boy and certified bourbon steward, Garrett Turnquist.
Yo.
We've also got our stellar producer on the mic, Johnny. Say what up.
What up?
We're here to dive into all aspects of the restaurant industry. We truly love what we do and love talking about it. We're going to pour, sample, and review anything you need to know about. Pour yourself a cocktail and join us on this journey.
Let's go.
Listeners, welcome. This is a special day for us. We're actually sitting in a great spot. We're out at the Underground Studio West, a.k.a. Garrett's office and basement bar. This is the second time we've recorded here, but we actually are joined by some prestige past Sipping Social guests, which we're really excited to have you guys on. Everybody, mainly Garrett and John, welcome to the show. JP, the director of brewing operations of Salamo and Hidden Hand, correct?
Yep.
And the sales director, also the director of sales, which is the same thing. I couldn't decide which one I was going to say, so I said both.
You did both.
Nick, and they've both been on our podcast before. So let's welcome them to the show, guys. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
First time repeat guests.
Yeah.
So you guys were early on, probably in the first 10 episodes or so.
Yeah, I think I was like about right. 4 or 5.
Thanks for having faith in us, and we haven't made it, but we're still working on it. But before we get into it, let's cheers to each other for you guys joining us. We're drinking lots of stuff, mainly the Forever Everbright Hazy Pale Ale. These guys brewed with us for BBH. We're going to talk more about that later. It's delicious.
And that's what we're all sipping on.
We're all sipping on that. Yeah. Plus, there's some whiskey in front of some people. We've got a bottle of whiskey that's open, and we've had some whiskey already, and we're about to get into our restaurant news. So we talked a lot about on the podcast Suburban, which is a new whiskey liquor bar in the basement of the old Emmett's building. I got to go there recently, doing some fun things with cocktails, fairly pricey in my opinion, but the music was fantastic and the ambiance was really cool. I know that, Garrett, I think I skipped my turn, and that was supposed to be my what you eat, what you drink, so I apologize about that.
Yeah, we got to get another one for you.
Okay, cool. I'm just really excited to get into this because we've kind of been amping it up over the last hour and lots has gone on and I like hanging out with these guys. So I feel like I'm a little bit nervous and
he should be.
I know.
Yeah.
We're amongst greatness.
Royalty.
Over here. We're sipping social royalty and greatness. But John, how's your day going, man?
My day going's great.
Yeah.
I golfed 18 holes with you early on this morning, and I feel like I have sunstroke possibly, but this this booze is bringing me back. So
nice.
Happy to be here.
Garrett, how's your day going?
It's great.
You having a good day?
Just the best.
Perfect. JP, are you excited to be here sitting with us, man?
Oh, very.
Cool. I can tell on your face. The smile is beaming. And Nick, I know you're the quiet one, but how are you feeling today?
I'm good, man. Just cool. Catching up from Memorial Day and stuff.
What other restaurant news we got?
I think you just wanted to talk about the status of Proof because it's kind of coming up, opening soon. Just the interior, kind of how it looks. And
Proof is on the cusp of being done. We're looking at opening up sometime this month. We're hoping for mid-June. Realistically, end of June. We're a couple weeks away. We just started our hiring process. I have 3 interviews tomorrow. I have a plethora of meetings on Thursday. Monday and Tuesday are set up all for interviews. We're going to do an open house next week. The decor looks sexy AF. It looks really nice in there. It's dark. There's some nice wood slotted walls that are specifically designed, and we're all cut with specific pieces to match different designs. I had a say in a cabinet that was built. That's about it. All right, as far as the design goes, Garrett built out the bar as far as picked out all the equipment and
nice. And
all the cocktail stations, and those are shaping up really nice.
Yeah, that didn't take 2 months at all.
Well, how many times did you change it?
Just 4.
That's not bad.
But finding the product at a price that was conceivable was the hardest part because the first time I put it together, that cost way considerably less than we thought it was going to. Oh shit, we can bump this up, and then the next one was we should probably cut that in half. So we figured it out, and we adjusted about a week and a half ago. We adjusted a little bit, but I think it's gonna look really nice.
It's gonna be sharp. It's gonna look good. It's gonna be functional, and all that equipment in there is brand new. So as far as
we're not inheriting any bad equipment.
It's a bartender's paradise as far as how things are getting set up. We're gonna have individual freezers behind each cocktail station for ice. So bartenders can literally reach behind and just grab the big block of ice that they need to make whatever cocktail they're going to be making.
Fancy ice.
This sounds like a recruitment tactic.
Yeah. We're interviewing, and we're going to make it easy as possible for you to make the cocktails. So.
I didn't think about that, but I don't think any of our listeners are looking for jobs right now. If you are, and you want to be a bartender, server, host, bar back, bus boy.
You're done at Selma with like 5, right? So you could swing over to Wheaton by 6 and start your shift.
You guys could do a guest bartending stint probably somewhere, right?
Oh, I'd love to.
What about a social? That would be like money.
I mean, JP jokes all the time about wanting just
to get back to it.
Yeah.
What if we set up like a fundraiser that we did where we donated like half the tips to like a great cause in the area and we just packed the place?
I'm game for sure.
Yeah. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
You should shut down the Salamoth bar and direct everyone to Burger Social.
Are you guys open 7 days a week?
Yeah, we are now.
Because you guys used to be closed on Mondays, right?
We did early on in COVID, and then we had some winter hours that we opened like later on. We went back to Mondays because we had a pretty good following, and then went back to basically noon to 9.
Well, we'll find a good night for you guys to shut the brewery down, cut some sales in half, and then come on over and make us some more sales. That sounds like a win-win for BBH.
I would love to see JP like make a dirty martini right now.
But well, if
he was bartending your guys' Christmas party,
yeah, you don't remember that?
No.
He had a tiger jacket on.
I know.
I borrowed Woody's tiger vest.
Did you pour in cocktails?
Yeah, I let him eat.
I did some cocktails.
Well, we're going to hold you guys to the guest bartending and social and doing a fundraiser of some sorts. Maybe half the profits will go to just the us going out to like the boat some night or something, like fundraising our gambling habits.
Let's go get steaks.
We'll get steaks.
Steaks.
Be our Gibson's habit.
Yeah. Gibson's and then an Uber to the casino.
Speaking of steaks, let's get back to Proof. Proof's looking really good, and the rendering of the bar tops looks really nice. Gary, you've seen that, right?
I saw the 3D image of it.
Yeah. Looks solid.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw that, I was like, the bar top's in. I had no idea, and then I zoomed in. I'm like, oh, that's not real.
Yeah,
I got really nervous that like we were going to open in like 3 days. But we didn't hire anybody yet, but it was just a rendering. But yeah, it looks really good. Yeah, I'm really excited. I was there the day they started pulling off like the plastic off the walls, and like when that happens, like you know, like not a lot of construction's happening anymore.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
They're like kind of just like wrapping up the big, like several big projects. Then there's gonna be lots of small projects just to get ready for the inspection. But then after the inspection happens, it's go time.
We've been talking about this stupid restaurant for like a year and a half, and after we open, we should have Nick or Jack on and have them explain like
the whole process.
Yeah, the whole process. Like
that's going to be like a 4-hour podcast for them to explain just the things that went wrong.
It could be a two-part.
Yeah. A two-parter?
Yeah.
I feel like we've done that before.
Yeah, in the same night.
Recorded in one night, yeah.
I feel like a year and a half for a full-fledged restaurant isn't a bad idea.
It was supposed to open in 2020, so it's just...
okay.
Yeah.
But well, we discussed it for the first time in 2019 in November in Louisville.
Yeah.
That was the first time it was discussed because they just got in the building. In 2019, while we were down there.
But I think it'd be interesting for people like, man, you guys have been talking about this opening this restaurant forever. Like, to have someone on be like, well, this is like why like things got, you know, waterfalled because one thing went wrong and now these four things had to be pushed back 2 weeks. And
I think part of them would want to do that just to explain a little bit of it. But also,
I think it's interesting.
I do too. But I think part of them is just going to be like, we're past that. We're open. We're
on
flying.
Other things.
Let's just do it. You know what I mean? They'll definitely come back on, and we should have both of them on because that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, like not to explain like make excuses or anything. No. Just talk about the process.
About it, yeah.
Yeah. I think the process of opening restaurants is super
interesting. Obviously a lot more to opening any business, in any industry, let alone. Turning three storefronts into a high-end American restaurant is going
to
be
that used to be a gas station
project. Yeah, in the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they found out about getting into it.
Mm. I didn't know that. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
they pulled two tanks out.
If you ever decide to open a restaurant.
Two oil tanks in the basement.
Wow. On a gas station, just don't do it.
Yeah, my buddy and I looked into opening a brewery in Glenwood Springs, and
you're leaving Salamoth? Breaking news!
Alert!
This was before I got to Salamoth.
Oh shit!
But the old building used to be a gas station, and part of it was were the tanks removed properly to be food service, and
totally.
They weren't. And so the potential landlord was like, "It's not viable." So
it is if you're willing to spend enough money on it.
Yeah, because then you got the EPA to come out and get tested, and then you got to clear the soil and stuff like that for food service. But yeah, that's an absolute mess. So obviously there's a lot of downtown areas that have old buildings that were gas stations in the 20s and 30s. People don't know about it because they just cover that shit up, and all the codes have changed since then, and all the requirements have changed since then. So
yes, put like a like when your dog like pees on the floor, just put newspaper over it. No one will ever know.
That's right. Just patch it up. So let's talk about this beer we're drinking right now, right? So we with our guests that are on right now, we get to brew this beer.
We recorded a podcast the day we did it too.
Yeah, that was so. This is episode 63. Episode 61 was us drinking a lot of Salamoth beer. One of them didn't do so well, but that's okay. John survived the incident.
It's the incident of 77.
Ooh, nice.
I was fine after 10 minutes,
but. That was one of the best days because we were hanging out with you guys right away when, you know, 9 a.m. wake up. I get my Cliff Bar on my way to work or on my way to your work. And then we just start hanging out and drinking and brewing beer. And you guys are so professional in accepting our whole crew coming over there. So I want to thank you guys for that in person. I know we've talked about that before. But the education that you guys give out in talking about your quality control. And we've talked about this several times, the x-ray can machine where you guys are checking seams and stuff like that. Just taking everybody through that. I mean, it was a great day for us and a great day for the staff. And then to go to social, have some food, and then we recorded that night. I don't remember a lot of the recording, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was a great day. From my perspective, just seeing how the whole process works is just amazing. I think what I do want to say is like... typically, like in a brewery experience, when you kind of just have that tour, you kind of do a couple things and it's really quick. But this was like fully involved experience where you're back there like pulling, you know, I forgot what it's called, the grain hoe out of the
your first timer. It's all right.
And you're feeling the heat coming off of it, and you're hearing. And you see the guy, like, you know, spraying down all the tanks, and you're in there and you've seen the water all over the place. It's just kind of a really cool experience.
Yeah, if you guys are going to bring that many people out, we want to make it as educational as possible for all of those people,
like 20 people
that take the time to come out there, you know?
Sure.
Well, and especially when it's a lot of people who are like your front of house employees that are, you know, not as knowledgeable about the brewing process or kind of what goes on in the background. We really want to like be able to fully immerse them in like all the ingredients that go into the beer, all the, you know, grain and hops and process and everything, and let them experience it and kind of see, you know, walk a day in JP's shoes and
that's a day awesome. In the life is what he's trying to say.
Day in the life. Yeah.
We got it. We understood.
Spend a day in his boots.
Yeah. Boots. Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of them were real interested in the seltzer aspect of it too.
Nice.
Which was interesting to talk about because not many people that come through the brewery are really excited about that process.
Well, I do think seltzers are like taking a pretty good chunk of the market of beer, like, well, you know, drinks, like cans of product, right? So,
yeah.
And you guys make amazing seltzers. I had
a couple that day.
I got six different kinds here if you guys need one.
I'll have one afterwards.
Thanks to these guys to my right. But yeah, I think that, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Would you guys ever do a collaboration of a seltzer?
We have with Run the Jewels.
I'm out now.
You,
I don't
you never had the ooh la la, have you?
I only want to
Pink one. Lemonade.
Who's that collaboration with?
Run the Jewels.
Is it? No?
Yeah.
No. You ever heard of those guys?
It's my favorite seltzer all time.
Do you know who Killer Mike is?
No, should I? Can we just come make one with you one day?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
That's really all I'm looking for.
Let us know when you guys are making one that you guys have, and we'll just come do all the hard work. And John needs another experience on the grain hoe.
Yeah, and he needs another reason to bring his gloves and his work.
Oh,
jacket.
Yeah. Let's talk about John's work outfit that he brought that day. John showed up with boots,
yeah, listen,
gloves. He was in a flannel.
They were thigh high.
In a flannel that I thought he was part of the crew.
Listen,
because you guys always wear.
I thought this from seeing pictures of you guys do this in the past. I've seen you guys sweating. You look like you were really working hard.
It's been just me and Mike were there.
So yeah. I brought safety glass, my own clear safety glasses.
We appreciate that. Yeah.
Work gloves. I wore the appropriate flannel because I thought I was going to get shit all over me. And I was ready to work. And all I did was just drink.
And learn. That's work.
And learn.
You did learn.
Learned.
and you and looked drank. Good while you did it.
Thanks.
You looked really good.
It was nice that when you it came down to like work that grain hoe, that you put the goggles on, you put the gloves on, like you went full
waterproof full boots. I wore waterproof.
I do have some good like live pictures of you doing that, like with the steam coming out, and
we'll
like
post. We'll
out.
Post
you
those.
Were, like squinting.
We'll post those after this episode comes out.
And maybe just a dedicated Instagram of me.
I like that.
Oh yeah,
episode,
the best producer in the business.
Maybe like an OnlyFans of Johnny working at breweries.
Do we
Bird Johnny
OnlyFans? Do we want to? Do we need to like? Do you think we need to?
What were you gonna say?
Do we think? Do we want to talk about kind of like the whole process of how this kind of collab started and kind of the whole way through and now that we've got a keg in this room right now and we're drinking
we haven't
it.
Even talked
no,
about
that's
it.
Not important at all.
We got a sixtal of freshy fresh.
So maybe we should just start kind of like the beginning and how that all came about.
I think Garrett should.
At the Christmas party, I turned to JP and I go, "When are we gonna do a collab with you guys next?" And he goes, "Whenever you want.
We'll get you on." Missed like
but this is like year four.
Yeah, so
all right, so go back to the beginning. Just like make it a quick like synopsis.
Typically not how it happens.
So the building of the relationship.
A long time ago, Hobbs and his business partner were good friends with Nick and Jack. So we were selling a decent amount of their beer through Barrel and Ryan, the previous restaurant, Front Street Cantina, and then now Burger Local. And then Mike and I started doing, I got offered a beer collab to do at Crystal Lake. We thought that was a lot of fun, and then we're like, we should do that again. Let's do that with somebody that we love their product and we have a good relationship with. And all of a sudden, it was like, okay, how do we do this with Salamoth? And as soon as we brought it up, they're like, can you move through 45 half barrels? And we're like, I think so. We can try. And it seemed to work out really well. And then this was our fast forward four years, to the Christmas party when I just take a shot with JP and ask him when we're doing the beer collab, and he goes, "I think we got some room over here," and shows me the dry erase calendar. And
penciled you in right there.
Literally like 2 days later, I just got an open invite on a email from Nick saying we're gonna rub hops and pick out a beer on two Tuesdays from now, and the beer will be made in 4 weeks from now.
Nice.
And it's just like the easiest thing ever. Explain to us like how, or in our listeners, like how, so after we decided like the goofiness of like just us deciding to do this, why you picked the hops to show us, and like in your head, like what your idea for our beer would be.
So we had talked about, we're getting into the summer, early summer months. We wanted something a little more sessionable. So what we landed on 5.5, right?
Yeah.
5.5% ABV. So sessionable, hazy, so still has that kind of hazy mouthfeel, but a little thinner, a little more sessionable. It's not going to really leave you bogged down. But we wanted something nice and bright and tropical. So our flagship, Salamoth's flagship, is Small Wave, and the hops in that are Citra, Mosaic, and Motueka. You guys had mentioned that you really liked this extra Small Wave we did, the hazy pale ale version of Small Wave. So we kind of did a play on that. We dropped the Citra altogether, bumped up the Mosaic and the Motueka, and then added a little bit of Cryo Mosaic to really amp up that Mosaic flavor and aroma profile. And I think it turned out really nice. What do you guys think?
It's so tasty, man. And it's crushable. We got people drinking them by the gallons over at Social right now. Do all the restaurants have it on draft right now?
Everyone's rolling now.
Yeah, everyone's rolling.
We're going to fly through this beer all summer. The flavor is good. I think that it
really hits everything you're talking about, right? Yeah. It's got the tropical note. Like, you know it's a hazy when it's in your mouth. And then when you drink it, you don't get bloated. Like,
yeah, it doesn't house coat a bunch of pizza. That sweetness doesn't coat your mouth like some of those really sweet and higher ABV hazies do.
So we just crushed a bunch of pizza, and if I was to drink like a 7% hazy IPA right now, I would be full. I'd want to go sit on the couch and do this podcast laying down.
I
could drink four or five more of these.
That's what we really like about like.
And we're gonna.
Yeah.
Prove it.
That's what we really like about like the hazy pale category. I mean, there were in the mid 2000s there was like the session IPA. That's basically what we're doing here. Is we're making a beer that has like all that. Like really big hop flavor on the front end, but then still finishes like super clean and like lets you have a 2, 3, 4 of them and not feel like
you drank four IPAs.
Two or three.
You hit the nail on the head as far as describing it goes, and you guys are talking about the ingredients earlier of extra small waves and how this kind of offshoot of that. So this is, I don't know if we said it, this has Motueka, Cryo Mosaic, and Mosaic.
Yep.
What's the difference between Cryo Mosaic and Mosaic and what that lends to the beer in the process?
So the hop pelletization process is removing a bunch of plant matter that doesn't really contribute anything to the brewing process. Cryo just goes a step further and removes even more plant matter. So it's just a more potent version of what you want out of the hop.
So would you use less of a cryo hop in a beer as to not overtake other flavors?
Yeah, so it's advertised as being able to use a 2-to-1 ratio, or 1-to-2 ratio, I guess. So you can use half of what you normally would for a T90 pellet. Most brewers agree that that's a little overstated from a marketing standpoint, but it does give an extra punch, and it allows your efficiency to be amped up in the brewing process as well.
Is it a more expensive hop to
get? Yeah, it's going to be more expensive because you're removing, there's just more process that's involved with it, but you have a better yield in the, at the end of the day. So
awesome. Is it more expensive like per ounce than?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're saving money by using the
kind
the cryo?
Of, not really though, right?
Well, it depends on where it's at.
You get a higher yield because you have less plant matter absorbing those that beer that then eventually gets flushed down the drain because it's just hop matter absorbed with liquid. So less plant matter means more liquid at the end of the day.
So that's when you said we had a really good yield on this beer. That's because we used some cryo?
Yep. Yeah, part of that for sure.
And you guys are good at your job?
That it's maximize
that stuff.
Right? Beer's a living product, so there's always going to be fluctuations with any things. Like our flagships always have a different yield every transfer, so we try to rein it in and try to make it consistent and forecastable, we should say. But it's always a variance.
You're a big fan of the Motueka, right?
Yeah, I really like Motueka.
Motueka.
Yeah, New Zealand hops for me right now are some of the best in the world for hazy IPAs and IPAs in general.
Why is that? Is that because of the location in the world?
It just gives it like, I mean, overall those like flavors are like very stone fruit heavy, a lot of like peach and mango and like very bright. You get like the Motueka hop, you get a lot of like lime notes out of it.
Is that because of like the climate there or...
Yeah, I would say that it has a lot of what winemakers say terroir, right?
Yeah.
For instance, Cascade is a hop that's been around for years in America. New Zealand Cascade is vastly different. It's the same DNA, just planted in a different region.
So then that's where the terroir actually comes into it. And I mean, we're finding that out with whiskey, now beer. We already knew for wine, not that we're wine experts or drink a lot of wine, but that's where that term comes from. So clearly what the earth gives you is going to change, you know, whatever you're making.
Wait, hold on. I think we have asked you this before, but not on the microphone. Do you guys ever go to a hop farm and pick out hops?
We have. We don't do it as often as I'd like just because there's only so many hours in a day and so many months in a year. So it's a very limited time on the schedule, and we're just kind of busy during that time.
It's always like October when we're like kind of gearing up for like our brews and everything for the holiday season.
And planning for the next year.
Because, I mean, we like to get our schedule planned out like a year in advance. So, like, we had, like, this beer that we were going to brew with you guys kind of, like, tentatively slotted in there. And then, like, once we kind of discussed it, we're like, this is where it's going to go. But, like, you know, we've come a long way in the past 3-4 years to really, like, make sure our whole year is planned out with exactly what we're going to brew, our core beers, our limited release beers, our collaboration projects with restaurants and other breweries, and, you know, really make sure we're dialed in with what we're going to spend and what we're going to hopefully make on these products.
I know you guys are like got to be one of the top SKU producing breweries in Illinois. When I say that, different types of beers, different SKUs, are you guys number one in Illinois, or is there somebody who's got you beat? Because it just seems like you guys make a lot of experimental beer.
Yeah, right now there's five different Hidden Hands you can purchase.
I mean, so just breaking it down pretty simply. So our solid mouth beers, we have basically three core beers. So that's our Lou Kolsch, our Small Wave Hazy IPA, and our Snaggletooth Bandana. We do, six different flavors right now of City Water, which is our hard seltzer brand. We have one core beer in our Hidden Hand line, our 77 Lager. And then
Johnny loves it.
Yeah. And then
are you alive?
Two thumbs up. Yeah. I'm alive.
And then on our Hidden Hand side, every 3 weeks we do basically two different hazy IPAs. We'll usually do a single IPA and a double IPA. And then we also have our Fooder project, which rolls into that. So every 6 weeks, so every other drop, we have a Fooder beer coming out. So that's kind of the way our breakdown of our schedule looks. And then
we also have seasonals for Solemoth and
seasonals for Solemoth
and single and drops then, for Solemoth. Yeah. Solemoth. So it's we make a lot of different beer.
Yeah, we probably do, and this is down from like where we were in 2019 on like a per SKU basis. In 2019, I think we probably did like 100 different beers. This year, I think we'll probably do about 60, 70. So we're down
only.
And I'm not saying down, like yeah. we're just yeah. like brewing more of all these limited releases and seasonals.
Yeah.
To fill the market.
Do you think that a lot of that has to do with like you guys just kind of finally tuning your craft and knowing your market and your fan base, I guess, and like what sells for you guys to have dropped that down, but it's not like you're like dropping sales and stuff like that. I'm assuming you guys are still increasing because I see you guys everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically, I mean, today we were looking at the schedule trying to add in core beers and like we had to pull off some limited release because we're basically maxing out what we can do in with our current footprint, with our current tanks. So like we're there.
How much of that was distribution to drop down?
I mean,
I don't need to talk shit about your distributor, but like, were they like, oh my gosh, how many beers can we actually sell here?
I mean, it's just the reality of like mindshare, with a wholesaler. Like they can only focus on, I mean, for wholesale, we have three beers plus a couple limited releases plus City Water. So they have like 10 priorities with us on top of all their other beers that they're focusing on. From other breweries.
The fridge just went off.
Yeah. How about that?
Outside temperature isn't as hot as it used to be. I like that home. It's getting kind of...
It's cozy.
Yeah, no,
it's cozy. Now it's just real quiet. Silence.
I don't know if I like it.
It's getting hot in here.
It's getting hot in here. So, all right. So we've brewed three hazy IPAs with you guys, mainly because that shit just sells with Midwest and at social and stuff. This is different. Hazy Pale Ale. I encourage anybody and everybody to come down to our restaurants and drink this.
Bring a growler with a top on it. We'll fill it.
Yeah. And I can tell you all about
this. They won't do it at Salamoth, but we'll do it at our restaurant.
How to properly sanitize it before after
Mike learned.
Use.
How do you scrape the growler, by the way?
A swizzle stick.
I'll show you later.
You're supposed to rinse it with hot water before you use it, just so you know. All right.
Our buddy Tony Reyes that we golfed with today, he was
Tony Perez.
Whoa, dude! Oh,
I thought it was Tony.
We'll edit the part out. It just
isn't Tony
mind.
Perez.
Yeah,
it's Tony Perez. Perez.
Oh, Tony Perez.
Our buddy Tony.
Tony Reyes was like the number one like stolen base leader in like 2008 for the
Mets. Thought that was Willie Mays Hayes.
Reyes Perez, whatever.
It's close.
Anyways, he was
nice dude.
He was pounding these. At social today, and he said it's the best collab yet.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice!
Yeah,
that's
me
a great compliment.
Too. Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you, Tony. Okay. Do we want to bring up how Brad didn't think this was important?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Shoot,
that's a good.
So we're missing.
I forgot all about Brad.
Yeah.
Who?
Totally. Yeah, he's forgettable.
Let's spend the next
him?
10
totally
minutes on Brad.
Yeah.
Johnny, what's your favorite? You like the Small Waves, right? That's probably your favorite Salamoth, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's so good.
I will say
this is very similar.
That this is like super drinkable to me, and I've had pizza, I've had whiskeys, I've had Rumplemints, I've had pretty much everything
lemonade.
Today.
What was not
this
enough morning? Rumplemints though,
and
right,
this
Johnny?
This has set me right, and there's no heartburn, and it's going down.
How's your sinuses?
It's going down perfectly. Sinuses. are good.
It's clear. Sound clear.
We'll I give this out. an A++, gentlemen.
Yeah, clean bill of health. Let's have one more cheers.
Cheers.
Let me tell you about the Small Wave City Club. To me, it's the best hazy IPA to have in a can. It's social because if someone doesn't like the two or three hazies that are on draft, I literally give them that. And I'm like, I'll buy that for you if you don't like it. And then they're like, no, this is the one I wanted. Like two sips into it. It's just clean. It's fantastic. It's great.
You guys run that every day in camp?
Yeah. Nice. We always have it because it's a great hazy IPA to have. Mm-hmm. We don't have any other hazy IPAs in a can.
You shouldn't. You have somebody on tap all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where people want to drink.
Have we ever
them.
Talked with these guys or brought up in the podcast the decision about creating Hidden Hand and kind of where that came about? And
oh, that's a great question.
Starting that. The question master.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever gotten into that. So I guess kind of our, you know, we kind of touched on it earlier, but some of it stemmed from that we have a need to make a lot of beers to satisfy like our creative process to satisfy like
all the tap lines and the two tap rooms as well. So,
you know,
and like actually like a four JP's massive salary.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, man. He's just like the dredging anchor.
My four yachts and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, so we really wanted to, you know, continue to explore our brewing process and what we want to create and what we want to continue to expand our knowledge on hop processes and everything. And so, but there's only so much that we could sell through our current wholesaler. So we kind of took it upon ourselves and created this new brand and really focused it on, you know, hop exploration within specifically the hazy category and where we saw a lot of like these self distro brands going.
Well, and a lot of growth there too, right? Yeah. Like in the whole beer industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really wanted to make it, you know, a very direct to consumer model for us. So our Salamoth beers go through our wholesaler network here in Chicago. And then Hidden Hand goes through self-distro. So myself, our area sales manager in Chicago, Michael, and then our area sales manager, Brad, here in the suburbs.
Who?
Brad Hill, you know?
I never heard of him.
Oh, he's sitting right over there.
Yeah.
There he is.
Hey, Brad.
He's wearing a see-through clothes.
But we touch and talk to all the accounts that we sell our Hidden Hand beers to. And like I said earlier, these all go to basically come out in drops in every 3 weeks, a couple different beers. And we really basically see the beer from when JP brews it to when you guys buy it. And you guys get them all within, you know, days of it being packaged. So it ensures us
it's the freshest beer.
Yeah, it's the freshest beer in Chicagoland. And it lets us explore and try a lot of new things that we want to do from like a new hop product
I'll
aspect.
Say that there's definitely a part of the market that's really interested in trying new all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this allows us to really touch that part of the market because every beer is a new recipe. We're trying a new hop combo, a new hop product, or a new technique.
Or JP's tweaking, and JP's always tweaking like the malt bases to make them, you know, a little bit more lean, a little bit more sweet, lean a little bit drier.
So yeah, part of the process of starting Hidden Hand was trying to identify the different hazies that we liked, and we kind of found that for hazies, regionality really influenced how they drank. And so that was definitely a big driving force in the starting of this, is trying to really kind of explore those different types of hazies, is the different regionalities that you can experience from across the United States.
So some of those are kind of, so the East Coast, like breweries like Treehouse and Trillium and Tired Hands out on the East Coast, definitely lean. So those are kind of the originators of like the hazy style. But a lot of those lean, they're hazy, but they're still very like dry. Whereas Chicago hazies definitely lend themselves to a little like sweeter,
And then if you go to places like Colorado or Oregon or something like that, out more west west coast, they have like that west coast like bitterness to it, but they still have that like fluffiness,
semi-sweet.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a cool balance in between like what we see east coast, what we see in the Chicago Midwest area, and then like the kind of that West Coast influence.
There's several customers that come in that they, you guys are now the handle that they see up there. They don't even care what the beer is. They know that they're going to love it. Pipeworks is kind of in that range us. Three Floyds is kind of in that range. Half Acres in that same realm.
Yeah.
Noon Whistle, people are still looking for just like the gummy series. It's not the full on what's the handle. It doesn't matter what the handle is. Their other beers are good too, but I just don't think that they've quite reached that. But Hidden Hand is effing slaying it with that.
So I have a quick like marketing question, if anybody wants to answer this. But like, when you first created the Hidden Hand series and Hidden Hand beers, did you brand it as like Hidden Hand by Salamoth, or was it like this is just a new brewery?
We didn't really assign anything to it. Like we didn't
hide it, and we didn't announce it.
Yeah. It was just a new project.
You are keeping them completely separate. It's not like Hidden Hand by Salamoth. It's just Hidden Hand.
Yeah. I mean, we're not hiding the fact of it.
Yeah.
I mean, some places it helps sell it. Some places it's like, oh, it's Hidden Hand. And then when you start to read reviews and stuff, you know, people are like, oh, you know, Salamoth is churning out these really cool beers in their Hidden Hand brand.
Okay. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
I mean, we kind of equate it to like, you think of some of these like car brands like Toyota and Lexus. Like, it's same company making both these cars. There's like a mainstream brand, and then there's like this other brand.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Like Mercury and Ford.
Totally.
Mercury's doing great for these days, right?
Yeah. Hummer, you know?
I have a really nerdy question. So you're talking about like the different flavor profiles of like hazy IPAs, depending on where you are in the country. Is that like the themes of what breweries are doing in those areas, or is that because of where they're getting their hops, or like why is it?
I think it's just regional trends. What consumers in those areas are leaning towards.
Do you think the consumers are leaning towards it, or do you think the breweries are just forcing it on us as their option?
I think that's the age-old question, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's definitely like.
So I guess the point is like to figure that out. Like, if you were to start selling beer in Connecticut and Maine, do you think that you would be able to, like, put a pin or a footprint?
I think our beers would still be too sweet for what they've been accustomed to.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've been to some decent breweries in like Colorado and California not that long ago, and there was some like juicy hazy IPAs coming out of those breweries and really good ones.
Totally.
Were they better than what we got going on in Chicagoland? Not necessarily.
I think we're spoiled here in Chicago.
But still,
I think
in that same vein, you know what I mean? And people were drinking the shit out of that stuff.
I mean, I travel around a lot, and like I think we're spoiled in Chicago with
totally. I agree.
100%. What everyone's putting out. I mean, I think our beers stand up to, you know, our beers saying Chicago stand up to anywhere.
Let's cheers to that. Let's cheers to that and get on a whiskey.
I got a water bottle.
Go.
Pour a little
like that. Have some water.
Have a little dollar.
You should probably have some water.
If only there was another source to grab more beer out of.
We were too busy having fun, Garrett. How about I fill up your beer and you tell us what kind of whiskey we're gonna drink? Do we have any final questions for JP and Nick over here, Johnny? Should we get into some whiskey?
No, I don't think I have any more questions.
I think there was a lot of really good questions. There, we got a little nerdy.
I think I've blown my load on the questions.
We got one more.
We got two quick ones.
Oh.
One, we're in production in the state of Illinois. Where does Salamoth rank?
I would say probably top 15 in overall volume.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously breweries like Goose Island and Revolution and Half Acre are like massive.
They're huge.
But then like, you know, that mid-level size brewery, like, we'll max out at about probably 8,000 barrels this year, which definitely puts us in the top 15.
I see you guys more
in volume overall.
I see Revolution and Half Acre and you everywhere.
Yeah.
So I assume, like, just off of like my own ignorance, that
you're
the top four.
I mean, there's a lot of those bigger guys are like very big in grocery. You know, we kind of pride ourselves in that we're, so our draft and package split is about 50-50.
Yeah.
So like we sell a lot in like bars and restaurants. So yeah, like,
I appreciate that.
That's, and we take pride in that because we see that as like, that's a lot of eyes. Like you get a keg, like that's 120 pours of a beer. There's right. a, you know,
there's 50, say there's nine, 50 people,
50 hopefully people 60 people that hopefully, see it. Yeah.
Yeah. That see it versus like you put a case into a grocery store. That's, you know, four to six pulls.
Yeah.
So, we really like to see that as like a sampling opportunity for customers and then hopefully go out and buy it at their local, you know, liquor stores or
I mean, without selling both, I don't know if I'd be able to afford this house. So I appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Are you ready to drink some whiskey?
Yeah. I haven't had any yet today.
Let's go. You had one shot.
Yeah, it was a little sip.
I also worked for 5 hours today, too, so there wasn't anything happened there either. Don't worry about that. All right, so today we weren't going to do a whiskey review.
It was forced upon
and
us.
Yeah,
it's our favorite part.
I feel like pressured and violated a little bit. Like
This is a whiskey podcast.
I said no like two or three times.
Beer is definitely secondary.
And JP just kept on saying, shh, just do it. And we caved. So we're opening our fourth bottle of the night. This is the they don't really make these anymore. But we talked about Elijah Craig a couple times before. Made from Heaven Hill. They don't make the 94 proof single barrels anymore. They do all cast strength, like 8, 9, 10 year old single barrels. This is a single barrel from a group that I've been part of that we've talked about before called the Warrior Barrel Society. They're based out of Virginia, and it's a couple guys who are in the service, and they pick single barrels with local retailers and then sell them within their group to raise money for all sorts of things. So so a lot of times they go to like homeless veterans or to schools with need, or they created this entire it kind of, after a little bit you're like, oh man, I think they're making money on this, but the this one is toward the support of people with autism. So the back label is pretty cool. It's got a bunch of Jerry Bears. It's doing dope. doing the gritty on the back with a really cool like rainbow hologram sticker, which I've learned those stickers are not actually cheap. So when they only upcharged $10 for this bottle, I thought it was like there's not much more going into this. So
you want to talk about the process of opening it?
Yeah. So they
we recorded that by the way.
So that
group, that was probably the most stressful 5 minutes of the night.
There was a lot of going on, by the way. So they're one of my favorite terms in whiskey is the word tater, which means like a potato, like they have an IQ of a potato, because you're literally just like label hunting. You don't care about what's inside the bottle. And so a lot of what these like whiskey groups will do is that they'll self wax a bottle and then upcharge it like $45 because they waxed it. Mm. I've purchased the wax and waxed my own bottles for fun, and it's like a $4 investment. Like, it's not that exciting, and it's a fucking bitch to open.
Yeah.
So they literally removed the plastic film that goes over it and then self-waxed this pretty thick white wax on top. But the neat part is they put a little puzzle piece on top, because if anyone's aware about autism, like fitting, that's like their logo, their like symbol, and like fitting together puzzle pieces can be difficult for them. So this is I haven't tried it yet. I bought this in 2021. I thought it was a really cool bottle. I was immediately in on it because of where the money was going to. And there are three bottles that I will always hunt for my personal daily drinkers. There's Elijah Craig single barrels, Eagle Rare single barrels, and Russell's Pick single barrels.
Nice.
So,
how many bottles of whiskey have you bought this year?
Two.
Ooh, great question.
That's
I brought
way less than I have.
That seems light.
But the bottles that I brought into my house
is a lot more.
Is
than
about
it.
Like 33,
based on gifts and trades.
Gifts and trades and like. Yeah. So like if I do a single barrel pick with a restaurant group, my rule is where anyone who's a part of the pick gets a bottle for free, so I get a bottle for that. So like things like that. I've only actually spent money on two.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
good for you.
Yeah.
That's about what we've spent this year too.
I've purchased more than that.
My wife's pregnant, so. she's the
so you're out on whiskey.
Congrats on having
she's
sex.
She's the bourbon. Bourbon drinker purchaser.
Oh, yeah. Purchaser. Yeah. All right.
Lucky you.
Yeah. JP, where are you getting your bottles from?
Binny's.
Local liquor store?
Yeah. I mean, only if you knew some people who worked at restaurants that got really cool bottles that you could just purchase from instead.
I should probably just go through you guys.
Like at cost.
You should probably just come shopping. Yeah.
JP like only goes to Geneva and Naperville.
It's really unfortunate we only have two restaurants in Geneva.
One of you guys need to work in one of the Geneva spots.
He lives in Geneva.
I go to them twice a week.
He's there for meetings all the time.
I run into him for breakfast at State Street Diner.
State Street Diner.
So bottom line is, let Gary what you want
to
know.
Precursor to you, sleeping on the couch for a week.
That's true.
All right, so this is Elijah. This
a whole other podcast.
This is a 94 proof Elijah Craig single barrel pick.
Let's go.
From the Warrior Barrel Society. We're going to share it with that group because those guys are awesome.
No sound effects.
My boy Ramon does a great job picking barrels. Ooh, that's a filthy pour.
How you doing?
That's uh-oh. Yours.
There's extra glasses.
There's lots of glasses.
There's extra glasses.
Well, I poured.
I think that was my old glass. Yeah. Here, give me this.
You can have that. You want a clean one?
Let me tell you about the five reasons for safety.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like I'm like
no lips.
I'm like Will Ferrell on Talladega Nights. Like I just got a marker. I go in like signing zone. As I see glasses, I start filling them.
That's true. Yeah. You just pour out the whole bottle.
Yeah.
It's five glasses. Here you go.
I definitely didn't give everyone 2.5 ounces. Cheers, boys.
Oh, cheers.
Oh, it's freaking good. Soft. It's sweet. You get a tiny, tiny bit of corn. You get a lot of oak. Good caramel. Just a great daily pour.
Yeah.
94 proof is not burning the throat.
Problem is like not the problem. The good thing about this is the Elijah Craig single barrels that you've allowed us to taste are so much better. Elijah Craig is a good bourbon, but this is
it's fine.
It's a good bourbon.
Yeah.
These are
is like way elevated.
So I'm saying like my favorite thing is to always purchase a single barrel of Elijah Craig.
But like Buffalo Trace single barrels aren't head and shoulders above Buffalo Trace. They're good.
No.
But they don't blow it out of the water.
In general, they're good.
They're good.
But they're not.
They're not like.
I'm not waiting in line.
Right. Exactly. This is out of control. So smooth. There's like no Kentucky hug. It's fantastic.
The downer is that anyone listening to this is like, where do I get one? That ship sailed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But only because I was thrust into this whiskey.
Well, sampling. Now that it's open.
Yeah. Come on over.
Come on. Yeah. Come on down.
I'm literally happy to pour this out for anyone who wants to come over and try it.
Man, it is so good. What, JP, you're the master.
Yeah, you got the flavor profile of over a there. Genius.
The aromas.
Yeah, not for whiskey. This is very good, and
you don't have to like it.
No, I mean, you're the steward.
That's right. Certified bourbon steward.
You said all the right things.
I think what we learned here is that kids with autism pick really good bottles of whiskey.
That's definitely it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get canceled.
Ramon does not have autism, just so we're all clear.
That's how you get canceled before you even make it.
No, I mean,
I'm just joking, dude. I know, I'm just joking too.
Oh my gosh,
we know,
it's so good.
We know.
Yeah, it is great.
It's one of those it's one of those whiskey like when you drink it, you're like you immediately want to take another sip. It's not one of the, you sip it, let me digest this, like, let me think about it for a long time. Like, that was so good, I want another one real quick.
I dig it because it's smooth. It's still got a little bite, like, it's a little higher proof, but it's
only 94, but...
Yeah, but it drinks...
That's the Elijah Craig bite.
There are some, like, JP and I had a Blanton's earlier tonight that, like, was, like, 108 proof, but we thought it drank lower. Whereas this one, I think it kind of drinks above like where it's at, which is cool.
So you're comparing this to the Blanton's Cold?
No.
He did, but
I'm just explaining.
I just wanted to let everyone know that you're drinking Blanton's Cold.
Oh, yeah.
Sick brag. So, but talk about earlier, you said...
I do agree with you, though. Yeah, the Blanton's Cold drinks lower, and this, I think, maybe drinks more like 98.
Yeah.
99, yeah.
I think a lot of that has to do with the flavor profile, right?
It has some complexity, but it's not like overly complex.
It goes really well with this beer, by the way.
It's very good.
the tropical notes of this beer and this whiskey. It's a great, anyone wants to come over and help me finish this Sixthill and get a pour of this Elijah Craig is more welcome, because it's a great beer.
There you
beer
go.
Whiskey back.
Johnny, when is this podcast going
to
come
out? You get to keep that here?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, I thought you guys were staying until it's gone. Yeah,
Garrett.
Garrett.
We're going to do an animal house.
if
front yard.
If
well,
this episode doesn't end with all of us doing a kickstand, I don't know what we're doing wrong.
We have to do a kickstand.
And we got to record the audio.
Did you want to go over your customer of the week? Do I say that one?
I got a good customer of the week. We should do a customer of the week.
Let's do a customer of the week. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys do events at your spot, right?
Yeah.
And so you guys take do you guys take reservations for those, or like
sometimes
just so you have a heads up, like how many people might be there or anything like that? So I had a whiskey event on May 10th. We had our boy Greg Metz come in, and I changed the date from the 3rd to the 10th because Greg Metz is going to come in, who's the master distiller of MGP forever, and then now with Old Elk. And so I messaged every single person that had signed up for May 3rd, said come in for May 10th, and said everyone said yes except for this one phone number. I don't know him. And I sent another message saying, listen, I need a response from you so I don't give your seat away. No response. So I sold a seat, and then he decided that he needed to show up to the event. So he saw it enough.
May 3rd or May 10th?
For the 10th. So he saw it to show up. And he goes, I never saw the message. You never sent me anything. I pulled up my phone, showed it to him, pulled up his phone, showed him the message. I was like, how did you even know this was happening if you didn't look at that text message? He goes, I get like 300 text messages a day. I go, I got 225 yesterday. And that didn't include this dumb group high school thread that I'm in. And it was so frustrating, the fact that you just like to show up on things and just expect that... because I'm here, you have to accommodate me. Mm-hmm. It ended up working out just fine, but what a turd.
Did you get him a seat?
I did, but I gave him the shittiest seat in the room.
Yeah, behind the pole.
And I called him out.
did you look him in the eye when you did it?
No, I just pointed at him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He was behind the pole. He couldn't
look at me. Yeah. Like the worst seat at Wrigley, he was behind one of those poles in the mezzanine area. I'm a big fan of calling people out who never respond to me on those confirmation text messages or phone calls in the class, and it just happened to be he was there too.
So buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Yeah,
if you sign up for Garrett's class,
you should. It's
don't
so much fun.
Respond to his texts if you want to be his buddy.
No, don't respond if you want everyone to know your name.
Dude, when we so just to kind of plug that, our last episode, John just actually put that out today. We got to interview Greg Metz, master distiller and blender from Old Elk. That was a really, really cool experience. And then Garrett ran a great whiskey class after that with a bunch of people that got to talk to him and gain that guy's knowledge from his experience. And it was really, really cool. I don't know where I was going with that.
That dude drank more Coors Light.
Than whiskey.
No, he didn't drink any whiskey.
He only did with Coors, us, though.
Well, very little. But he drank Coors Light the entire whiskey class. Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. I think I gave him like 8 beers. He definitely wasn't driving home.
I mean, I always thought just take a second on Old Elk. Old Elk is in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I always thought with a lot of their marketing shows the guy, Greg Metz, in the foothills of Colorado, with his hands like gladiator running over wheat fields. And
what a visual. That's exactly,
you know exactly what I'm talking about,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And he just seems like this,
like, knocked out and
so is he like super fit? Like,
no, he didn't, no, he's like this
Russell
old
Crowe?
In the pictures, it looks like it.
He's like this, like, really sort of like, I don't want to say weathered, but like just like.
He seems like he's like worked
he
a hard
out,
life.
He spent a lot of time outside.
A lot of time outside.
Yeah. Like, well,
but hard
looks
work.
Like an
though.
Old farmer guy, like just kind of like just working.
Grizzled.
Grizzled.
That's a great.
And you would expect that he like lived out there and he's like working for Old Elk. And so, you know, he lives in like.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Downtown Cincinnati.
They just sent him a sample.
No, a suburb.
Yeah, they sent him the samples and he
just
blends it
all together.
That's
a totally different picture
like,
of what I had of like the master distiller of Old Elk.
But he's killing it though. I mean,
and he's like
5'6",
like 65 years old. Like
smart though.
Oh no, very, very
smart.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's just not tilling any grounds. But he gets all these samples sent to him and he just drinks them in his house and What a dream job that is.
And then he mixes them, and then we drink them together. And yeah. then Garrett makes fun of the guy that doesn't show up or shows up for the class and didn't respond to the text.
So yeah. that is the most interesting that I learned, that like he literally, like, basically out of his house gets sent bottles.
Yeah, he goes there like six times a year.
And he just tastes and then selects.
And blends.
And then they...
He tastes and blends.
Yeah, and then they get... Shipped to Old
Well, then, and then, he, and then when, like, when it's time to, like, go to bottling, he'll go there to make sure it tastes like what he thinks it's supposed to taste like.
It's like the ultimate remote work.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go to any...
Blend from home. You just drink.
Blend from home.
Yeah, so, like, when everyone's like, I got a 10 a.m. Zoom call every single day, he's like, I got a 10 a.m. tasting I have to do at my house by myself.
I got a 10 a.m. blending. Don't come over.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's Nobody, put he's
the phone's
put in,
off.
He's put in 40 years in the industry.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like that's what you
it's
deserve.
It's kind of due. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's smart enough. He earned all of that.
Yeah. I'm good at noon though. Come on over. You can drink the rest of it.
You're with me. You can try what I think is might be good. What a dream job that is.
You know, it's a dream.
Garrett,
job?
Garrett, you're halfway there.
Running.
I hope
podcast.
So. I'm like one day a week there,
yeah,
not 5 days a week.
We don't make any money.
So it's still a dream job. It's a dream side hustle that doesn't make any money.
Like, you know what's a dream job? Doing a podcast. We don't make money.
It can only let's, be a job.
Let's wrap this up because now we're starting to talk about
to
the, last,
W-2.
The last episode with the last guest, and we got guests in front of us. But JP and Nick, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to thank Salamoth and Hidden Hand for all the wonderful, wonderful hospitality you guys have shown us. Last time we were there, you guys catered Portillo's. The time before, Nick, I think you were on the grill. You were doing like beer brats or...
We had pizza last time.
And then we had pizza. No, we had pizza before.
I see it all blurred together.
Yeah, so I mean...
We like to eat good.
But these guys, like, they just take care of us. We have a great relationship with you guys. All of our listeners, you should drink more Hidden Hand beer, more Salamoth beer. Go to the brewery in
Naperville.
If that's
not evident by like the beer being on our podcast for like the ninth or tenth time...
Yeah. All the time.
Not even including Nick and JP being here.
So to remind the listeners again, we are drinking, the name of it is...
It's Forever Ever Bright.
Forever Ever Bright.
By Hidden
Hand.
By Hidden Hand.
It's on tap everywhere in the western suburbs and across Chicagoland.
No, so just only available at the Bourbon Belly.
So John didn't pay attention to any of the podcasts.
I'm kidding. Oh, I'm fucking joking.
It's John, all you need to know is... that it's a war cry for the hopeful. All right? That's all you need to know. And also, the Wanderers. And also, the
is
ones
Coors
with their
Light
eyes
a war cry
the
for the hopeful? Kind of, yes.
Yeah.
All right, the next time we get together Derailed. For Sipping Social Podcast, we will be back in the Underground Studio. We might have a guest, we might not. Who knows? But we'll probably drink some beer, we'll probably drink some whiskey, and we'll probably cheers to the Hidden Hand guys that joined us today. Cheers, boys. Really appreciate
cheers.
You guys
cheers.
Coming
cheers.
On.
Cheers.
And Garrett, great setup down here, dude. Great setup.
Fun.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sick.
Next time
I love the AC
winter.
Hum.
Next time we're doing the winter with the AC's not running.
Yeah.
Just the fridge.
I guess.
I'm glad to pull it out.
Until the next time, listeners, for episode 64.
You got
64.
A project done.
Love you.
Peace.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
First of all, we'd like to thank our listeners, our families, and friends that support us. We couldn't do this without you. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Tell your friends about us. Big thanks to our producer, Johnny, in the Underground Studio. Also, shout out to Johnny Perona and Davenport Ed. That's the rockin' music you're hearing in the background. Thanks again, and we look forward to the next cocktail with you.
So there is one thing we haven't touched on yet.
What's that?
Bradley missing our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We did touch on it, but we were going to circle back. We're going to circle back.
Yeah.
Well. So let's diagnose the excuse. So he's had back injuries in the past.
So, all right, let's
now
rewind.
Now we're a medical podcast.
It sounds like he needs a boob reduction.
We can cut all this out. There's going to be some editing here, so.
That turd bungalow knows there's enough to feel good, whatever he needs.
You just called him a turd bungalow?
Yeah, oh yeah.